full name?
Fernan Roland Labby.
Could you please spell it?
What's that?
Could you please spell your name?
Fernand, F-E-R-N-A-N-D, Roland, R-O-L-A-N-D, Labby, L-A-B-B-E.
What is your date of birth?
August 19,
1941. Okay. Where were you born?
Lawston, Maine.
Okay. So you grew up in Lawston?
Grew up, yeah. Born, raised, and lived all my life in Lawston.
What were your parents' names?
Well, my father was Philip Labby. And my mother was Marie Labby.
What was her maiden name?
Russo.
Okay. Could you spell that, please?
Yeah, Russo.
Yeah.
Russo, well, I never use it. I think it's B-R-O-U-S-S-E-R.
Okay. Where were your parents born?
My father was born in Augusta, Maine.
Uh-huh.
And my mother was born in Berlin, New Hampshire.
What type of work did they do?
My father worked at Bates Mill all his life. He had a garage for a while, but most of the time he worked at Bates Mill and Bath Iron Work the first few years they were married, but most of the time. My mother worked in a lot of different shoe shops between babies. We were 10 kids, so.
So when did your dad?
My mother moved. She was pretty young. She was probably she was the baby of the family. So I think she was about five when she moved to from Berlin to Lawston. They bought a farm on College Avenue, on College Street, whatever it was.
Did your mother ever work in the mill?
No, the only person in the whole family. I guess most of us worked. But,
really?
Yeah. She always worked. She's during the war. She worked at Bath Iron Works, and. Most of the time in between kids, mostly a different shoe shop, clock shoe, lounge shoe. She had enough to do at home. Most of the time she didn't really start working until most of us were starting to go to school and all that stuff.
Did she work before then? Do you know if your mother worked before you were born?
I don't think she did. No, she would be. She had like had four of us right off the bat. So,
yeah. She quadruples.
No, just kidding. Just he had four. One, two, three, four. The first few years they were married. So,
and how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have five sisters and four brothers.
Could you name them?
Yeah, Lucian Labby. He's he died 2 years ago. He was 65.
Did he work in the mill?
Yeah, he worked in the mill. And then there's my sister, Lorraine Crawford. She lives in Tennessee, but has a summer place in Sebattis.
Did she work for that?
No, she worked in a shoe shop that was right here. She worked at lounge shoe most of it before she got married. Then my sister, Doris, she worked in a shoe shop also. And then there was me. I started in the mill in 1957 at Bates and Hill. Then my other brother worked in the mill. Jerry Labby. He worked in the mill. We were four of us at one time working in the mill, my father and the three boys. And then my other brother, the next one was Mike Larry. He worked in the mill a few, that was way, I had already left the mill by then because there's 10 years difference between us. So. And he worked in the mill a few months, but he never liked it, so he went to work at Pioneer Plastic. And then the others, Linda, she graduated from college and left for California. She's still in California.
Mm-hmm.
She never worked in the mill. My other sister, Linda, Suzanne, she never worked in the mill. She worked in a lot of shoe shop and worked for different places. She's still in town. And my brother Michael is the baby of them all. He never worked in the mill. He's a mechanic for Ryder, but he took over our home we had on Lincoln Drive. He lived there with my mother, where we were almost all raised.
Did all your siblings go to work about the same time?
What's that?
Did all your siblings go to work about the same age?
Yeah, we had some that were later, you know, like a few of them went in the Marine, like brother went, the oldest one went in the Marine, and the youngest went in the Marine. But most of us, yeah, none of them, just the girls, all the girls, there's only one girl that graduated from college. She's the one in California, and all of us, we all went to some high school, but the last two graduated from high school, Larry and Mike graduated from high school.
And the rest of you didn't?
Yeah.
And obviously yours. How about your sisters? Did they all graduate from high school?
No, there are just two of them. Sue and Linda graduated.
And two of your brothers?
Yeah. The two youngest. Almost the four youngest that joined that act. The four youngest that joined that went to high school. We all went up. We were working up. I was in high school and I left after 3 months, 2 months. I went to work at the Bates Mill. I was 15 years old. I had forged all my papers. I mean, when I was 18. So I worked there for them.
So you wanted to work in the mill?
Yeah, I liked it, but, you know. I worked there 8 years. I got called in 1 year. We got called in the service. We got called in that they federalized the National Guard. So I went to Tennessee down in Fort Campbell, Kentucky for a year, but came back, went to the mill. We were a lot of people in the mill that got called in. There was a captain and a bison, and about 10 of us from the mill. Huh. We got called in 61 during the Cuban crisis. Huh.
So were there a lot of mill workers who went away during Vietnam?
The what?
Were a lot of mill workers drafted during the Vietnam War?
No, none of them. Everybody missed. I come out. I left when they were just starting, but I had forged all my papers. I got. I went in the reserve at 15 years old. I was all done at 21.
Really?
So, none of us got. The youngest one, he was in Beirut when his whole company got wiped out. It was when they blew up the barrack in Beirut.
1982,
yeah. Oh. Yeah, he was in the Marines. But he was lucky he had stayed overnight at the garage. He was a mechanic, so he made it, one of the few in his company that made it out of there, so he was blessed.
So where did all of you go to school?
All, most of us, we all started at St. Mary's. Then most of us my mother wasn't that good in French, so we had a hard time with French. So by the time most of us were in the fourth, fifth grade, we had left the private and gone into public school. I went to Colburn, Dingley, Jordan, Lewiston.
And so your mother didn't speak French?
She spoke French, but they were never highly educated, so she didn't know how to really read. Oh no, we all spoke French, but the one we learned from the grandmother, but none of us read, a little bit, but nothing. Yeah. Not like my wife. My wife knew how to read it and write it.
Did your parents? Did your parents ever try to teach you French?
Oh yeah, we spoke French all the time, but not. Teaching us to read it and write it, no, just spoke it. We know the language. I still know the language, but, you know.
Yeah.
My girls all graduated from Holy Cross. They know it. They don't speak much of it, but they all knew how to read it and write it.
Your two brothers and two sisters went to high school. Where did they go to high school?
Lewiston, four of them. All four of them graduated at Lewiston High School.
Did your parents never consider putting them in St. Dominic's?
They couldn't afford St. Dominic's.
Okay.
And I don't see none of them had stayed in French school that long, so they would have been hard for them.
So you needed to speak French to go to St. Dominic's?
Yeah. Well, not really. Well, yeah. Especially them days. Yeah. Now, today, you don't. Today, you can. When my wife used to go to St. Dominic's, they used to have 4 hours of French and 1 hour of English. Now it's the other way around. Yeah.
When was this, 1950?
They went, that's, see, I was See, there's a skip between them. We went four kids, and then there was a skip. I'm going to say, that'd be, they started going to late 60s.
So.
Yeah, 60s and 70s. They all graduated in the 70s and the...
Did you teach your kids French?
My girls know better than I do. They all went to French. They've never been to public school. They've all been to private. So. They've all been at Holy Cross and St. John. All three girls graduated from St. John.
Guardian. Do you have any? Did you speak French to your kids when they were growing up?
We try, yeah. They all knew it, you know. Of course, my grandparents. I mean, their grandparents all spoke French too. You know. Yeah. When you got here, plus they had it at school, but their friends, some of their, still some of their friends. But see, this is my kids are 40. I got one that's 40 and 38 and 35. So, but they know pretty good French. They're better than I am. They all, you know, of course they had a Saint Dom and everything. So.
So when you went somewhere, did you speak mainly French when you worked there?
Yeah, most of it. If you didn't speak French in the middle, you would have had a hard time, but most of it. When I was there, especially when I was there, early, the 50s and the early 60s, after that it started changing, it's like today, you don't have that many French people over here. Just the older ones, but even my kids never, they speak French when their grandmother's here. They still have one grandmother.
And did your grandparents, where were they from?
Let's see. My grandfather, Russo, was originally from Pennsylvania. And my grandmother was, pretty sure she's from Berlin, from New Hampshire. And my two grandparents from the Labbies, they're all from Canada. They're from Canada.
So growing up, did you always consider yourself an American?
Yeah. All of us were born in. French-Canadian descent, but we're still here.
Did you ever go to Canada?
Oh, yeah. We still got a lot of family. Relatives. We go there a lot. Mostly.
Yeah. Relatives? Did you go up to Canada for any large events, weddings, or anything?
Yeah. Weddings, funerals. Yeah. We have some on both sides. My wife got some, and I got some, so...
Growing up, did all of your friends speak French?
90% of them. Yeah.
So most of your friends were French Canadians?
Some of them were directly from Canada.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were like my parents had. My parents were living here, but they lived. The grandmother, the grandmothers just no French, so everybody. But most of my friends were all French descent. I had a few that came in from Canada, like Mike Drapin. He came in. Yeah, he was only 15. He was 15 years old. The only thing he knew how to speak was French. He went in the mills. A lot of them, like, because you could live. Everybody spoke French at the mills.
Uh huh. So you didn't have any Irish friends, or?
Yeah. I had O'Brien. Oh yeah. Uh-huh. John O'Brien on Lincoln. I had a lot of French and a lot of English. Irish.
And so working in the mill, did you talk about people? Ireland or Italy or
Canada, Ireland, a lot of them call them upper state, Maine, but they're Canadian, but they've been living in they've been potato, they used to pick potatoes, a lot of them call them potato pickers, but there were a lot of them were originally from Canada. Yeah, we didn't have too many. We had a few Polacks though, and quite a few Polacks. All the Oliowskis on, like they were big family, and everybody worked there.
Did you different groups tend to get along in the mill and school?
Yeah. Well, we had that problem, but you know, we didn't care. You know, again, we just fought it. If you lost, you lost. That's all. Yeah.
What do you mean problems?
I mean, you know, we had fights. I mean, we can't all agree, you know. One would call you some name, and you'd call him back, and...
Zapping off
his... Yeah. That's, you know, nobody... I mean, they, you know, we used it. I mean, today, you'd be called a racist, because, you know, one would call you a stupid Irishman or stupid friend, but, you know, always friends, you know. The next day, you'd forget about it. And, you know.
This happened in the mills, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it was... The culture is still there, no matter what. You always have that law. You tried to be better, and he tried to be better. So good.
And let's go on a little tour. And your wife, is she? What's her name?
Molly.
Have you had another wife?
No.
Okay.
No, we've been married now 43 years.
How did you meet your wife?
She worked in the office at the mill. She was in the office, and I'd see her come out. They used to come out for lunch, right? So I'd see her come out, and I'd tell this woman, I'd say, I'm going to be going out with that girl. So this woman said, no, you'll never. I heard she's got a boyfriend. Well, come to find out. That was her mother I was talking to. And she was going with another guy, but she was getting ready to break up. So. And one of my friends, I was in the mill, one of her friends that worked with me, heard I wanted to go out, and I said, I'll fix you up one night. So one day she fixed us up. We started going out, and that was about 45 years ago, 1960. We started going out in 1960, 45 years ago.
So where did you go when you went out?
Driving. Dancing, we used to go to the Pal Hop a lot. We used to have big band, a big Pal Hop. It was a dance put by the police officers on Saturday that was popular, and then we go to... we go to Portland at the top of the East, and you know,
what's that?
They had it was a big hotel. They had a nightclub up above, and we go up there. And downstairs was another nightclub, so we go out with two couples. We'd always every Saturday we either going at the Flamingo or they're going to the one in Auburn. I can't remember. Used to go a lot to the Roundhouse.
Where is that?
Where now they tore it down, but it's where a ground round is now. That was the best nightclub there was. We go in.
Were the buildings all just nightclubs, or were they like above something, below something?
You just sat and ordered a drink and you could dip.
No, I mean you. Was it like part of a two-story building and it was like an office below it or above it or something?
Yeah,
like
that. Oh, the one in Portland, the big one?
Yeah.
Oh, it was about 10 and a half, 14th story up. It looked over all Portland. Beautiful. I heard they still have something, whatever it is up there. We haven't been in years, so, but.
And how many years did you date before, or how long did you date before you got married?
2 years. I got called into service for 1 year while we were going out, but after I come back, I was still in the service when I got back, but you know, we weren't demobilized, but we got married 3 weeks after I got back home.
Where was the ceremony?
St. Peter's Church. St. Peter, and then the wedding reception was at Sons of Italy.
Did your and how old were you?
21.
How old was your wife?
20.
Your siblings get married about the same age?
No, mine, some got married, yeah, I got some that got married real young, but yeah, the girls all got married about 17, 18. The girls were pretty young. The boys, I got two of the brothers that got married real young. They were 17 also.
Okay.
And the rest, the other two that went to college. One of them went to college. She didn't get married until she was about 25.
Okay.
Do you have children?
Yeah. How many? Three girls.
Where did they all go to school?
At St. Don.
Yeah. And what do they do for work now?
I got one. My oldest one in Georgia. She's a she's in the something like an inspector for if their company makes checks or they make sure that you're not trying to do any forgering or all that. So she analyzes all this.
Did she go to college?
Yeah. She went to Barbizon College in Boston for 2 years for modeling and not modeling. She was going to go for modeling. She went for a service. Service guys, merchandising. You know, she'd buy for stores. She went in different stores for a while until she got that.
How about your other girls? They both go to college?
Yeah. They've all graduated from college. The other one went to college for, she went to nursing. She went nursing at St. Mary's for a couple years, and she didn't really like it, so she decided to go with the dentist, so she's been a dentist assistant for 20 years here in Taylor Brook.
Where did your other daughter go?
My other one, she lives in Lisbon. She's gone all the way. Graduated from college, and she just graduated for a master, and she's has early childhood psychology, and they built in Lisbon, right here, not too far, about 4 miles.
She has a practice.
She works for Murphy Home, Murphy, and she goes to, like, let's say you'd have a boy that's having a hard time, so she goes over there and studies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said you began when you were how old?
15.
Okay.
Forward the papers. I was going to school and I had forged my papers to go there. I was going to work part time, but then I said, "Well, I can always go to high school later." So I quit going to school and I stayed working for. I stayed at the mill for 8 years.
Uh-huh. Did a lot of your friends do this? Forge papers to work early?
Another one. Yeah, the one after me did that. And. Me and him are both young ones, but he was a lot older now. He was just shy of 17. So. See, they were real strict. You couldn't work on machinery or anything like that.
Which mill did you work in?
I started at the Bates, but I worked 6 months at the Bates with my father and my brother. I had another brother, the oldest brother, was working there. And then I had a chance to go to Hill Mill, and I went to Hill Mill, which is next one over.
Why did you go to Hill Mill?
I had a better offer. Job was I liked it, but I didn't like a base because it was I didn't like the type of work I was doing. Canning. I was in the CAD room.
Okay.
So then I went in the weave room in that Hill, but I didn't like that either. So I moved on.
Can you explain what canning is?
Oh, yeah, these bales, cotton bales, would come in and. This machine with like it's all picky. It would pick and demolish all the cotton, and it would weave it. It would spin it a little bit, just not really hard. Just it made a big cotton, but that was before it went into the spinning room. And it would fill up a can. You had to break it, put another can in there, and you really move. You had to move. If you wanted a break for 5 minutes, you had to move around, move like 120 cans in 10 minutes, because it would take about 10 minutes to fill up. It was a big can. It had a spring loaded. As it went down, it would come down. So then we'd take it. Once it was ready, we'd take it, put them on cart, and send it out to the spinning room. It was about this big. So then they'd take it, and they'd spin it. And that's how they'd make the tread. The faster it would spin, the finer and the stronger for the clot. You know, that's what they... The weavers would use. Then I jumped. Then I left there and I went in the weave room. And the weave room was where it's so noisy. Man, I mean, There was, when I was working, there was no such thing as earplugs. You used to take, cotton, put them in there, but it wasn't like these plugs they got today. So I stayed there for about 3 months. I had a chance to go in this spinning room. It was much cleaner and quieter, so I went up there and I was there for almost 7 years.
What did you do in the spinning room?
I was a doctor. I was a cleaner for a long time. I sweep the floors up and down the whole length of it had like 20 aisles, so I did that for about 3-4 years.
What'd you say you did before you were cleaner at Dolphin?
Yeah, I went there. I went from cleaning to Dolphin, which was a lot more money, but piecework.
What is that?
Once they spin the cotton real small from the card room, you have a bobbin. That's where your tread is on.
Uh-huh.
So it would fill up. You'd have a big frame with 300 of those in one. Every 2 hours you'd have to doff it. You'd take out the full one, put new ones in,
uh-huh.
and spin the. And if you'd have a break, the cotton would break on some of them, so you'd have to put a piece of that.
Uh-huh.
You had to move. It was all on piecework, so you could make almost $57 a month, a week.
Well, I've heard of bobbins that are long and narrow and cloth, and you fed to a machine.
Yeah.
That
was when it's all done. After we get.
Yeah.
It goes in the weave room and then.
And then do you consider working there pretty safe? Or?
Well, nothing. I almost lost my finger. I got caught in the belt. It's a V belt. Took the thing almost off. I put it back. Everything was risky. If that thing belt would wrap around you, you had these big belts on some of these machines that wasn't just individually controlled. They had big belts going to the ceiling that would run off the main power system. If you get caught there, a lot of people. My grandfather lost his arm at Anscoggin Mill in 1927. He got caught in one of the card rooms.
So what were your hours?
My hours? What would I do?
Yeah.
Oh, how much I make?
How many hours did you work?
Well, I was, I used to work a lot of hours because there wasn't that much money, but I used to work like 80 hours a week. I'd work.
How many days a week?
I did that for a long time. I used to work on nights. I used to work on days from, well, not just days, from 2 to 11. And then from 11 to 7. A lot of time I do double shift.
How many days a week did you work?
5.5 days. I'd work a lot of times Saturday and morning.
So about how many hours a day on average?
My average was probably around total 60 hours a week. I worked a lot of it. I worked from 3 to 11 and a lot of time 11 to 7, but my shift was 3 in the afternoon till 11 at night. That was my real shift, but there was always somebody missing, so hey, you want to work over? So I
grab shifts here and there.
Yeah. I used to, they'd say, you want to work 5 hours or 8 hours? I would. So a lot of time I used to. I could catch a couple of hours. I'd hurry up, do the work, and catch a couple of hours sleep.
And did you like the pay?
The what?
Did you like the pay?
For pay?
Did you like the pay you earned?
Well, that's why I went, we weren't making that much. I think I left, I was only making like $1.25 an hour, probably a little more than $1.25 a piece. A lot of them were still making $1.10, $1.15. I could make about $1.40, $1.50. I think I left after 8 years. I think I was making about $67 a week. So probably plus a piece. I'd say about $1.50. People were making $1.25, $1.30, and I was on piecework, so you get paid more. You had to be fast. I did doffing.
So what is piecework?
You get paid by the amount of you know those frames I was telling you?
Yeah.
How many you do, you'd have that. My wife used to be, they used to count the picks. We call them picks. And whatever they, Hanks and picks. The weave room was picks, and where I was Hank. And you'd make money at the frame. If the frame was running, it was like on a clock. And they at the end of the shift, they take the Hanks, how much Hanks you made, and they'd figure out, okay, that frame only stopped for 20 minutes. So he did, every time it was full, every 2 hours, I'd hurry up off that frame. So we had to pick, so.
Was it easy to get assigned a piece work?
It was, what?
Was it easy to get assigned a piece work?
No. No, you had to be there a while, you know, everybody wanted piece work, and you could make a little more money.
Did you need connections to get piece work?
I bet you did. Hand sewing, when I left the mill, I went hand sewing. That was piece work, and more you went, you know, you get paid for the shoe that you do. You know, it was almost like the faster, the more money you can make.
But so how did they choose people? How did they assign?
You had to, they'd open that job when somebody would retire. They'd open that job, and the oldest one in the mill, or in that department, would get it. Seniority, same thing.
That was based only on seniority.
Yeah, still good.
Yeah.
Some of them didn't want it, though.
The room you worked in, was it equally men, women, all men, all women?
Men, women. Actually, there was more women because it was where I worked in the spinning. All the spinners were women. There was just one out of 20 spinners. I only had one guy, and doffing was split. About we probably had like six women and four guys. Yeah. I went there. There was only two men doffing.
How about carding? How about for carding? Was that equally divided or?
Mostly men. Yeah, that was tough. That was the cotton in there. The clot room and the spinning had the most women where I went. Weave room was mostly men, some women. CAD room, like I said, the clot room was almost all women, probably 100 women to 3 men. Spinning was like, I'm going to say 70 women and probably 30 men.
Were you ever promoted in any of the rooms you were in, or were there not any promotions?
No, I stayed. I wouldn't have gone. I stayed where I didn't want to get promoted.
How many supervisors did you have?
You mean the total time I was there?
Yeah.
Well,
at any one time when you were.
Probably four. Four or five, you know. Like.
They all speak to French?
Only one, let's see, Poulin, Poulin's the only one that didn't know how to speak French. He had a French name, but he didn't know how to speak.
Really?
Yeah. And all the others, Larando and all these, they all spoke French. Poirier,
Were they all well-liked, by the workers?
Yeah. They all seemed, didn't matter whether you were, we had some, I'm trying to think, McCafferty, he was well, French or Irish, he got along pretty good, you know.
Were you part of a union?
Yeah.
You paid dues?
Yeah.
Did you go to meetings?
You used to pay, yeah, you used to pay like $3 a week, you know, $1.50 a week, yeah.
And how often were the meetings?
Some of them were, we'd go once a month. Once a month off, right on Lisbon Street, we had our hall. Blair was the president, and a couple of us. I was steward for a while, but then when I got called on the service, somebody took over. Then when I came back, I didn't. I went on another shift.
What was the union very active? Was there ever a strike when you were?
Yeah, I had one strike. 1958, I think we went out for only 3 days. I think they had asked for a 10-cent raise. I think they gave us 5 cents. Can you imagine that?
So, did you hear of any other strikes in any other mills when you were?
Oh yeah, I've been on strike at a lot of places. I've been on strike at even the shoe shop when I went hands on. We went on strike because we brought in the union, boot and shoe. And then when I was on construction in where I am now, I was working for SD Warren, and we went on strike for 3.5 weeks in 1984.
And why?
It wasn't the money, it was the way they wanted to break up some of the seniority. Seniority is very important, so still I don't think it should be, but yeah. It wasn't money. There was a little money there, but I don't think the most thing is they wanted to eliminate. You couldn't do bidding even though you've been there for a while, you know. So we went out for 3.5 weeks. We got what we wanted. And, since then we've come close, but never. Yeah. We worked in the past 4 years. We worked 18 months without a contract. We just signed a contract.
So. You always had health insurance?
Yeah.
Because of any of the times you got hurt, have you ever had to have sick leave?
I had a back operation the first time in my life. I went out for 4 months for a back operation.
Was this while you worked in the mill?
Yeah. Where I'm working now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This time I went out, I got hurt, when I almost lost this finger. I went out for 1 day, 2 days. They paid me back my 2 days, and they gave me $50. That was a lot of money.
So they pay your medical bills?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They paid that.
They were generally pretty good about paying.
Yeah. I've never had trouble. Some people have trouble, but. Yeah, I've always been lucky. I mean, I don't collect on in 40 years. I hadn't loafed in 21. I had never taken a day off or loafed in 21 years until last year when I got hurt my back.
Were you in general happy with the product you made?
Yeah, I love the product.
Did you ever buy any of the windows?
Yeah, but we used to make. Khaki shirts. We used to make a lot of tents for the army, but they were on the market. We used to go and buy cloth in the cloth room. You could buy cloth and make bedspread. Bates Mill, we could buy blankets. We bought blankets. We still buy blankets. Yeah. Got beautiful blankets.
Do you ever give a gift to any of your kids? Like a wedding gift to any of your kids for your daughter. Did you ever like give the best dress as a gift to anybody? Or?
From the where we work?
Yeah.
I've given stuff I get there, but yeah. It's just about the old mill.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only had one. By the time I left the mill, we only had one job. Yeah.
Okay. So why'd you stop working?
Why?
Yeah.
While I was at the mill, I learned how to hand sew. I used to go to school on my own. I took up hand sewing.
Where did you go to school?
Rod Mark. This guy was teaching. Roger Mark.
That was some private?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you teach a lot of people?
No, we only have 3 guys learning.
Mill workers? Were the other guys who were learning also mill workers?
Yeah, right. Well, one of them. Yeah, well, I can't remember what he was, but... One of the French guys, I used to call him, he was really from Canada, and he was learning, and he was working at the CAD room. I was working in spinning, so we learned to hand sew for about 3 months, and I know it was paying good, but I didn't know if I could do it, but it takes a lot of, it's hard on the hand, you snap the leather on the hand sew, and you punch your own, and
uh-huh.
You say hand sew all these shoes, all them loafers you see there, I used to do that.
Okay, now I've talked a lot about your work in the mills. come. I'd like to know a little bit about what Wilson was like. It was like he worked in the mills. Where did you live and where did a lot of mill workers live?
Yeah, I lived full of mills. You had so many mills here when that one time when I was going. You could go to work at the Hill Mill, Bates Mill, Anascoggin, Continental Mill, Lawson Oil Mill, Libby Mill, Cowan Mill. These were all mills. Beside about 50 shoe shops when I was growing up. And I grew up right below the mill, below the Bates Mill, Anascoggin Mill, actually. We used to have all the Bates Mill had their hockey team, baseball team, and my house was right below the hill, so everything was happy. And they even made a public skating rink for us outside, but where the country kitchen is today, there was all baseball fields and hockey rinks.
And there was a mill team?
Yeah, oh yeah, Bates Mill, yeah. Oh yeah. I was the bad boy for the Bates Mill, baseball. And hockey, I used to take care of the outfit. I was always around there. I grew up with the baseball. Especially baseball. I was their bat boy in 1954, they won the championship. They went to Michigan, and I was going to go with them, but their school wouldn't let me go. So.
Friends from the mill?
What's that?
Most of your friends from the mill?
Yeah, a lot of them, before they started closing. Everybody worked in the mill. You either worked in the mill or a shoe shop. So there wasn't much going on here beside that. Either at Continental or Petrol.
What part of town did you live in?
I live right down there. I live what they call the gas bank. It was a big tank we used to make. They used to make the commercial gas for the people, so that they didn't have natural gas. I used to go help them make gas. I knew the formula to make gas: burn coal and kept 2,200 degrees and capture the fume that would be. They pumped that this big. I don't know if you ever got to see it. This used to be right down here where the river is. Used to have a great big tank that used to go up and down. That's where the commercial gas would go in, and the weight of it would push it to all the homes everybody had.
Did you live in an apartment or a house?
House.
Even when you were younger?
Yeah. We only lived in an apartment until I was 2 years old, and we moved on Lincoln Drive in 1943.
Mostly all. How about when you started working?
It's 15.
When you started working, did you live in an apartment? Did you live in a house? Did you live home?
We had an apartment.
Did you share with anybody?
No, just me and the wife.
And when did you get a house?
After I went hand sewing, I was making good money, so I bought this house 38 years ago.
1967.
I'm a Shriner, I'm a Mason, Elks, that's about it. I was final secretary for a long time for Boat Union, where I am now. I did that for about 20 years. The only thing I belong to is the Masons and the Shriners and the Elks.
When did you join these organizations?
1970, I joined the Mason. Then 1974, I went to China. Last 10 years, I've been with the Elks.
Were there a lot of mill workers in those organizations?
No. There were a few. A lot of them were Knights of Columbus, but Mason were sort of being Catholic, wasn't that? too recognized. They weren't too keen about it. They didn't like any. I was one of the first Catholics.
When. And so. How about the Shriners or the Elks? Do they care that you're Catholic or not? Or?
Well, they wanted us to go. They wanted me to go. Make sure I go see the priest. Make sure that, you know. But I told them, well, I never did, because they were against it anyway. But now you, 30 years later, now you can be a Mason and you can be a Knights of Columbus. When I joined, it wasn't. It was strictly. There was a lot of Irishmen there, and they didn't really understand it. They thought this was to take over the church. You know, the old theory. You know, they thought the Mason wanted to take over the church. But it's a good organization. It's take care of your own brothers, you know, and all that. So I've always stayed with them. So
you never thought about joining the Knights of Columbus?
They asked me a couple. I thought of it, but I said I'm still working. I'm so busy. I work a lot of hours, so I don't have time to. I used to go to the drill when I was working at the shoe shop. When I was working at the nuclear power plant, I had certain hours. I was able to go to a lot of meetings. I attended a lot of meetings. But after that, I started going on the road. And,
so what are the Masons and the Elks and the Shriners do?
Mostly to help people in distress. And, you know what the Shriners do? All these kids that have burned, they got the Shriner burned, all free. I have a nephew that's had over 10 operations just to relieve some of the pain, because he can't walk, but they operate on him about 10 times just because he cripples up. He's, you know, he worked on his bed. And the Elks, we got the kids, and we got we got dancers. We got dancing over there, and you got lobster feet. So, you know,
And so have you always gone to church?
Yeah.
How often?
Well, we go once a week.
Which church?
Holy Cross.
Yeah. Did you always go to Holy Cross?
Yeah. Well, no, St. Mary's. When I was growing up, I brought up at St. Mary's. St. Mary's. Then when we got married, we lived in an apartment, and we used to go to St. Peter's. But since we've been here, we've been going to Holy Cross for about 38 years now. So.
Did you go to any other churches?
We've been to most of all the churches at one time or another. You know, weddings and all that, St. Philip and whatever. It doesn't have to be just there.
It's Holy Cross, the closest church?
Yeah. Well, that's our parish, so.
Okay.
But there's a wedding, like last week we were at Holy Family, you know, the baptism over there. So.
Did you ever have organized prayer in the mills? Was religion ever discussed in the mills?
No prayer. Yeah, everybody discussed the religion. Somewhere, from Jehovah's to, we had them all over there. We had the Catholics, the Jehovah's, we had the guys that don't believe, atheists, and we had the Protestant, so.
They all got along pretty well?
Yeah. Yeah, it's surprising, you know. You try not to discuss too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's like politics. But, yeah, no, nobody ever, you know. I guess somebody might have gotten pissed off, you know, once in a while, but you get over it, you know. It's not like today. Like,
so, do you remember... So most of the fighting that went on between groups when you were growing up was just small fights?
Yeah, that's right.
There was nothing big, like...
Yeah.
No.
We used to have we call them EL, Lewis and Auburn used to have a lot of fights then on the bridge, you know, when they play football, you know. They'd call us we were a big rival, Lewis and EL, because big rival in them days. I mean, I seen going on the bridge and fighting a whole gang, you know, but just 5-10 minute break up, next day go over there and just like nothing happened, you know.
Yeah.
Especially during the game was tough. I mean, you had a lot of fight during the football games.
Did you play football?
I played football. I played football for 7 and 8, and the 6 weeks that I went to high school, I played football for Lewiston. I was small, but very fast, so.
So when you were growing up, other kids used to make fun of you for being French?
Yeah. So I made fun of them because they were Irish. You know. Uh-huh. Yeah, you always had. Certain word we say, you know, like three. Yeah. And, yeah. They still pick it up at the mill now, down there. You know?
Did anybody ever take it seriously? You felt uncomfortable? Or?
I don't think so. You know. We could tolerate a lot more than the kids do today, I think. You know? I think you were so busy working that you didn't really have time. I think now they got too much free time on their hands. So.
How do you feel about the Somali community here? How do you feel about the Somali community coming into Lewiston?
I'm not too keen because I don't like the way they came in. They came in for the welfare, you know, like when my parents came in, or my grandparents, they came in, there was no welfare, you had to work. And too much easy money going to them right now. Just too much easy money. They don't want to work. They left. They were all in Georgia with where my daughter was, but they weren't getting the welfare they were getting here, so they all moved here. So they're not refugees from Sudan and all that. They've been here quite a while. Some of them have been here for 7-8 years between Georgia and here. I think, you know, if you want to work, you want to come over here and work, you're welcome. Don't come here and come on welfare. My grandparents had to get there. They had to get down here with their own money. Some of these got paid by the government now. So they're still getting paid there.
Where do you work now?
I work in Skowhegan. Sappy paper. Well, it used to be SD Warren, but now it's South African pulp paper. We have a big mill. Big. You've seen it.
Do any Somalis work at that mill?
No. You have to work there, so there won't be. We only have. It's way up there, so it's hard to work. Nobody. This guy, like. It's, you know, it's a good job, they pay good, but, you know, I work hard doing it.
If there's one thing you could say about mill work to people 20 years from now or something, you know, what would it be?
They'd probably be surprised how hard the people work in the mills. I mean, you know, we worked hard. I mean, you know, we had fun, but we worked hard. And you weren't ashamed to take your pay at the end of the week. You know, you got some job now, man. But, you know, some of these people, they had work. We had some fun. You know, and you work harder to get ahead. Always thinking better of the family. You know, so this is what made the, I guess. That's why these kids all have better than I had, and I have better than my grandparents had, you know? Yeah. Nothing was free. You know?
So did you save up to buy this house?
I saved a couple of years, but we bought it mostly, in them days, I was working, I was hand sewing, so I was making pretty good money, so. And we had the second child when we bought it. My second one was born here. But my wife was praying when we moved here, so, you know, I was raising a family, but I say, looked around, you know.
Did you ever get involved in city politics?
No, not yet. No, probably when I get done at work. I got 22 more months of work, so.
So you retire?
Yeah. I'll be 65, so.
So.
I'd like to get involved.
A lot of other mill workers are involved in politics, or?
Yeah, most of all, I think they all, even, I think the ones that are the mayor, both mayors, I think, both worked at the mill at one time, the gays, mayor, the two brothers, one in Auburn, one in Auburn. I think they all worked at, I'm not sure.
Mill workers tend to lean toward one party or another?
Probably Democrats. Also, around here, if you're not, you know, I go either way. I vote for the man, so, yeah. I voted Democrat one time, then I voted for Bush the last time, so, you know, so. Okay. It goes by what he's done. And the less of the two evil, you know, a lot of times that's what you have to do now, less of the evil.
So what did you, think about all the change that's going on in Lewiston right now?
Well, I like the change. Some of it's great ideas. I think they should hold back on welfare. I mean, I want them to help people, but I don't want them to support them for the rest of their life. And that's what the welfare seemed to breed, you know. They've already tried this, you know, this welfare that started back in the 60s. You got families, generation and generation have gone through the welfare. I think I want them to help them, but, you know, I want to do it the right way. They seem to go one way, and then if you want to work, you shouldn't lose all the help. They should help you, but no, if you go to work, they take everything away. So a lot of them don't want to go to work, so, but they don't do it right. They don't encourage you. You know, I mean, if you go to work a little bit, you lose some of the food stamp. You either got to do nothing or lose everything. You know, I've been studying this situation on welfare. I mean, they've gone tremendous. You wouldn't believe it. They pay $800-$900 of rent for their people. They get $800 for food alone. You know, I'm looking at $1,400 a month.
I do a lot of work. And so working in the mill, were there a lot of mill workers on welfare or any?
Didn't know what that was. Oh, you had a few people. They didn't have welfare there. You know what you had? Yeah, what they call, you'd go to the city, and you go to the, city hall, and they give you a yellow slip if you didn't make enough for family. They give you a yellow slip, and that slip says you could have butter, you could have cheese, milk, bread, and you'd have to go to a certain store that was on Pine Street, and they call it the city aid. They help, and. You know, you'd have to say, if you had like 10 kids and you were making like $30 a week, they'd allow you like $12 more of, you know, they'd help you out, that's all. They didn't give it. You had to go over there, get it, go on your own and go get it. And you'd go, and everything was marked. A lot of people didn't like it. Everything was marked U.S. Food surplus, you know, and all that. So even the flour. Yeah. But it was up, you know. My parents did it for a little while. We were like 10 kids for a while, so, but, you know, not just help, you know, the first few years when my father was young and working, and all the kids had like 6 kids, he was making like $16 a week. But, we never really went on, you know. Most of us stayed away from it. We worked harder, get 2 jobs.
Did family help out a lot if you had problems?
Yeah, everybody chipped in, you know. Yeah, and still do, I guess, you know. You help each other out, whoever makes out the best, you know. So.
Do you ever give part of your pay to your family?
Your father? Yeah, when I was growing up. When I first started working, that's what I was doing. I give better than half my pay. You know. My father had gotten sick. They had that big flu going around, and he didn't work for a couple of weeks. And I gave him all my pay, you know. I kept 3 or 4 back, you know. That's why I worked a lot of overtime. I give them almost all my pay, but all the overtime I kept. So. Uh-huh. I was able to buy like a brand new car. I bought a 1957 Plymouth while I was 15 years old.
And did a lot of other your siblings do this?
Yeah, they did that for most of us all did that. You know, that's what kept the family going.
Did you have any other relatives to support?
No. Well, we had an uncle that kind of a hobo, bum, whatever, you know, he'd always come over and then my mother would end up feeding him. He was more or less a hobo. Go from You know, he didn't like to work. He'd go in the city. The city had, years ago when we were growing up, they had a city truck. I used to pick up all the garbage, just the garbage, the kitchen garbage, the swills. And these guys that didn't want to work, but the city would support them, they lived where they're building the warehouse for Walmart right here. That big warehouse, that used to be the city farm. That's why they got that land. The city sold it to Walmart. But city farm, and they raise pigs, and they collect all the swills, and everybody. They'd have you didn't put them in your garbage. You had a separate bucket, and on Monday they'd come around with a big truck, pick up the swills, and these people that couldn't afford a rent or a room, they'd live in the city and in the city house, feed the pigs, pick up the swills with the truck. They had a special truck, like it would. Then they'd get in dumping and feed the pigs. And they'd send some of the pork to the jail and take care of the old people.
Did any of your siblings have to help out your parents when they were older and they couldn't work anymore?
Yeah, we all took everybody in. My grandmother lived with us for a while. And, a lot longer than they used to now, but everybody helped till they was. The hardest thing was I seen my grandmother had Alzheimer's, so it got to a point where you had to watch all the time. So that's when they placed them at. They used to have a home over here, and my other grandparents, they all died kind of sudden anyway. You know, they got sick like a few weeks and died. So. My mother just spent her last year in the nursing home. She had Alzheimer's also. She just died.
Did she ever live with you for a while?
No. My father died 20 years ago, and she got remarried 10 years later. She got married about 10 years ago. 10 years ago, yeah, they were married 10 years. And she did real good till 2 years ago. She went to the hospital for the first time in her life, besides having babies. And she never really come out of it. She was 86, so she died in about 3 months ago.
Listen, what did you consider your neighborhood?
No one.
Did you have a place you considered your neighborhood, your part of town that you lived in?
Oh, yeah, we are. Our neighborhood was always Lincoln Street, we call it. Lincoln, Oxford, River.
There are a lot of mill workers live along here?
Yeah, that whole place was built with mill workers.
Houses or apartment buildings?
Mostly apartments. Yeah, it was just a few houses. We were lucky. We had an old house my father bought for $500. That's why we got a house. Yeah. He never owned the land. That's why. People down there, most of them don't own their land. It's owned by a big corporation, like the old Mill Corporation. But it was under Franklin. This old man Franklin bought all this land, and then you'd work for the mill. Say, I'll rent you this lot for... I remember my parents used to pay like $3 a month to have a house on that lot, but you never own your, that's why you could never sell a house too much. You pay this corporation $3 a month, all the time. Then they went up to $5, $15. Now, I hear now they're paying like $30 a month, just for the lot. It's like a trailer lot. But.
In your family, how did your, who was responsible for disciplining the kids and making sure they got to church and things like that?
When I was growing up over here, my family.
Your family?
My family. I was the enforcer, my wife was. Yeah. Same as when I was growing up, my family. My mother was there. She'd give us a warning, then say, I'll tell your father.
So even though you... So does your wife work?
My wife started working when the kids all went to school. My wife never worked till the kids were all in school.
And where does she work?
She started working after we got. Well, she worked at Bates Mill when we were going out. She worked there a few years while we were married, but then we had a boy, and the boy died 6 months later, and she had like a SID, crib death. And after we had the second one, my wife said, I don't ever want to go to work again. So while the kids were growing, she brought up the kids. So.
You
never worked till when the kids were all in school, then she started working. She was a secretary for the union.
Mm-hmm.
Where I worked out of a union. I worked out of a carpenter local on Lincoln Street.
So she goes to the meetings too and takes time.
What's that?
So as union secretary, she goes to the meetings and takes down everything?
Yeah, not the meetings. She'd take care of all the paperwork, and she couldn't go to the meeting because she was, I was a financial secretary, but she was a secretary during the day. She'd answer all the, we always had a lot of phone calls coming in, so she did that for a long time. Then when I went to work down in Sappy, she stopped. She got a job for, she was working for Gibson CAD for a long time. She retired with Gibson. She used to set the CADs up. Shaws, you know those CADs? Those are put in by American Greeting or Gibson. A lot of them think it's Shaws, but Shaws don't even pay them. They get paid to American. She did that. It wasn't a big job. It was just about 3 hours a day. She worked like 15 hours a week. Not by Kepta, Kepta business. I always went around. I worked a lot overtime, so I used to make pretty good money. So, enough to keep the family going. Put them to private school and all that. So, pretty lucky.
I think that's it. Now, thank you for your time.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I'm going to need to get up. The camera takes the pictures of you, and do you have any questions of me?
No.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.